Anyways, today we are back looking at another psalm, looking at the topic of being honest with God. And it's very likely that as I go through some of these psalms that there's going to be a repetition of ideas, and parts of my messages may have some reoccurring topics, but that's how Scripture works. They oftentimes look at the same principles from different angles. And although the topic of this message is different, there will be some similarities that you will see. Praising the Lord and singing praises to God our King was a significant theme of my last message 2 weeks ago out of Psalm 47. Since hearing that message, I want to ask the question, first of all, do you even remember it? Now, I don't want to see any hands. Has anything changed for you since that message? Has anything changed in how you view the song and praise time, singing praises to our God? You know, our God is very much alive and living. And so should our worship be alive and living. And I appreciate how Debbie had said, I think at the beginning of our worship time, to sing and raise your hands. You know, just symbolic that maybe there's life in our worship. Do you have a greater appreciation or a greater desire to be alive when you worship the Lord in song? It's just kind of looking back at what we went through. And just something to think about as we look at our next psalm, Psalm 63. And the main topic is different than that last psalm, but yet there are similarities. As I was preparing for this message on Psalm 63, one of my commentaries had titled this particular psalm, "That Which Is Better Than Life Itself." That which is better than life itself. Such a phrase, it's finding something better than life. Well, what is better than life? Curious to see what I'd find online because, you know, the internet has everything you want to know and a whole lot of things that you don't want to know. I decided to search that question, what is better than life? And I was actually I wasn't really surprised, but all the hits that came up were all faith-based. Such a question is really only one that probably is asked by people of faith. Because a person who rejects God will say, make every moment count, because this is all you get. There are many that go around our world today thinking, this is as good as it's ever going to get. Money is only good to a person who's alive. Can't take it with you. Possessions, fame, power, they're all useless among the dead. There's no ranks among the dead. So what's better than life? What is the answer to the question that looks beyond where we are here and now? It looks beyond our physical well-being of our bodies. Let's begin reading out of Psalm 63. Verses 1 through 2 I'll read first. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Again, this psalm is associated with David, King David. And in the first few verses, we see an honest appeal to needing God. Now, Juanita and I had taken a trip to Israel, and we actually traveled through some of the desert areas of Israel. And something that we probably knew before then, but really got a glimpse of, is that water and water sources are and are very important, even still today. Life in those areas would quickly end without water. Many of us know we can go without food for a while, but we can't go without water for very long. And you add a high heat and dry climate, and you don't last very long at all. Water is extremely important in these areas. It is a matter of life and death. And the interesting metaphor that David uses here, God is like water to him. In a dry and weary land, David's body, it longs for God. His soul thirsts for God. And there is an earnestness to drink of the Lord. Why? Because surely death is near without drinking of the Lord. Surely death is near without taking in of the Lord. It's a powerful image for us. You see, David is as thirsty for God as an exhausted wanderer is for water in a parched desert. He's longing for the Lord, longing for that near presence of the Lord. In truth, it was an overpowering thirst for the divine presence of God. I've never been dehydrated to the point where I'm worried about my life, but I have had times where I was starting to worry about heat stroke. And all my mind could think of during those times is, I need water. I need it. I know my life depends on that. I think that's what David's trying to get at here. Is my mind is just filled with the need of the presence of the Lord here. And there's such a longing. Verse 2 points out past experiences. David knows what the presence of the Lord is like. David had seen him in the sanctuary, meaning that he has experienced God's presence in a mighty way in the past. David has beheld God's power and glory. These were even more experiences of God's presence in David's life. We may not know what those experiences were that he was referring to, but we do know that they were impactful and they were memorable and powerful experiences in David's life. What about us? Are there times that we long for God's presence? I would say many of us would say yes. Are there times when we feel similar to an exhausted and thirsty wanderer in a dry desert? I hope so. Are we desperate for just a drink of the presence of the Lord? I would say the affirmative to those, but I also have a limb that I'm going to go out on here. I'll say that we probably are far less likely to be that desperate. we're far less likely here and now to be that desperate for the Lord. Why is that? Because many of us are living in a culture that says you rely on yourself for your needs. Self-reliance. Or cultures of self-sufficiency. That if we are in need of something, we're going to go out and get it ourselves. We oftentimes get in our own way of having that desperation for the presence of the Lord. More often than not, it's only in really difficult times that we actually get to the point of desperation for God. We have money, we have technology, we have medical advances. We are advanced in our culture, that we know. And I don't want to put down medical things, but we often look to other things first. And I'm not saying not to go to a doctor, but if you're feeling ill, what's the first thing you do? Do you actually interact with God? Who do you run to first? There's many ups and downs in life. But let's get in the habit of quenching our thirst with the presence of the Lord first. For when we experience God more and more, we'll be like David. When we experience God in mighty ways, we're going to want more and more and more of it. Just hearing a few little snippets of Candy down in Australia, the things that she's going through, that she's seen God do. She has a thirst for more. Yeah, she's supposed to come home here in a few days, but she's thirsting for more. A lot of us need to get that. Because if we don't quench our thirst of the Lord, then we ourselves become a dry and desert place. And without that presence in our lives, without that life-giving, living water, we are a desolate people. Experiencing God's presence and thirsting after God is tremendous and life-changing. But all we really know is that presence here and now. You know, when we experience God, it's the here and now, which is a good thing, but it still leaves my question remaining. What is better than life? Now, I'll say that presence of God will carry us on even after life. That's true. But I'm not sure that fully answered my question. So let's read on in verses Psalm 63, verses 3 through 8. Because your love is better than life. There we have it. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What's better than life? God's love is better than life. The New English Translation says, because experiencing your loyal love is better than life. In the New Living Translation, it says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. That word love comes from the Hebrew word hesed, often translated love or loving kindness, but it's also translated sometimes as steadfast love, faithful love, unfailing love, loyal love. What is it about this love that is better than life? It's a unique quality. Its unique qualities of durability and duration. Unfailing, steadfast, and loyal are descriptions of a love that is not just unconditional, but is a love that remains and continues on. While living in Springfield, Missouri, I got a little taste of what it was like to live in Tornado Alley. I think the first couple of years, I couldn't believe how many tornado warnings we had to go through, how many tornadoes came. A nearby town in 2011 was hit by a tornado. The city of Joplin made national news. 158 people lost their lives due to that tornado. There were many stories of trial and trauma that came out from that horrific day. One of the stories that came out was that of a husband and wife. Knowing that the tornado was about to hit their house, they took refuge in a bathroom because most houses around there don't have basements. So they went to the bathroom, and the wife laid down in the bathtub, and then the husband laid himself on top of her, protecting her with his body. Now the entire house was destroyed around them, and the wife survived. The husband died shortly thereafter. Unfailing and loyal love is truly better than life itself. Out of love, that husband gave up his life so that his wife could live. Jesus Christ truly exemplifies that. He exemplifies that unfailing and loyal love when he went to the cross for you and I. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Long before Jesus' birth, this psalm was written. God's love was just as real and present then as it was when Jesus came. You see, that love goes on. It's steadfast and unfailing. You were loved before you were born, and you were loved in your mother's womb. You are loved now as you live today, and you'll be loved when you go to heaven. But we need to receive it too. You see, we have an option to reject it. We've been given it, but we also need to receive it. Receive it from our Heavenly Father, accepting His love and His gift of mercy by accepting Jesus and following His example. We are also to be givers of this kind of steadfast and loyal love. Give it back to God and to others. As I said, we can reject God, but we're told to be givers of that steadfast and loyal love back to God. And there's going to be times where we don't understand God. There's going to probably be even times when you're going to go, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm not really happy with how things are going. Sometimes we can be frustrated with God. But we're called to have that steadfast and loyal love. That no matter when we don't really understand something, we still need to love Him without fail. And we're to show love to others. In today's culture, it's entirely too easy to only love those who love in return. Failed love is often returned with more failed love. No, that's not what we're to do. We're to love each other. What is better than life? Steadfast love. But I also think it's a combination of those first couple verses about the Lord's presence, God's steadfast love and His presence. For when we follow Him, even after this life is past, we will continue to receive that love and continue to enjoy the Lord's presence in a way that we never have before. Wow. That's just the first part of this psalm. I got plenty to go. My question may be answered, but let's go on. That verse 3. Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Now here's that common theme of praising God that I was talking about. David is going to give praise as long as he is alive. He will praise God in the good times and in the bad. David, at the moment of writing this, he is being pursued. He's being pursued by some enemies, but he makes it a priority to praise God. Things are bad right now, but God, I will praise you, and I will keep praising you. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips on my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David's soul was only to be satisfied by the Lord. David will praise him and remember him and think of him night and day. Are there times that we go through our life? Are there hours in the day or days in the week or weeks in a month that we go on our everyday life and not even think about God? And that's the one thing, there's several things, but there's one thing I liked about the law in the Old Testament. Yeah, there was a lot of restrictions. But you had to be thinking about God in everything you did. You had to be thinking what is pleasing to the Lord and what is not. But David, he would remember him night and day. David is saying that his everyday life would be filled with praises and thoughts and memories of the Lord, and his soul clings to the Lord. Now, I know I could go on with this psalm, but I, out of time's sake, I'll just finish right there with that part. But what honesty, what hope, what excitement that we can get from this outpouring of David's heart, his honesty to God. And as you think about today's message, there has been a lot here. We ended with King David talking about everyday life being filled with God. And at the beginning, we saw David speaking as if God was water in a parched land. He thirsted after God desperately, with urgency and desperation, and drinking in the unfailing love that had been set before him. Are we holding ourselves back from that? Do we take time to be thinking about God? Are there times that we take His love for granted? I went through that whole loyal and unfailing love. Are there times that we take it for granted? We don't thank Him for it. Some choose not to receive it. Let's praise him for it. Let's thank him for it. There is more to this. There's more to life than work, money, and pleasures. There's more to life. And the Lord's presence and his unfailing love are more important than anything. Receive it and praise him for it.